The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
This is Janelle in the studios in downtown Columbia with Thought Crime Radio, and I'm in the studio with Kurt.
Hi.
All right.
Well,
That was speaking of power to the people.
Right, in Wall Street, the people are out on the street. You're not hearing this in the corporate-controlled mass media, but they're protesting.
We were just looking at pictures on Facebook, and it's pretty amazing. All the people that are out there, they're camped out. A lot of young people.
Right.
A lot of police. Looks like brutality.
Yeah, police brutality in public, beating up the people for complaining about the sad state of our economy.
A lot of young people, they're wondering how they can lift up, one sign was, how can I lift up my bootstraps when Wall Street stole them?
Right.
And was it last time on the show that you mentioned the corporations that own the media? Could you mention that again? Because I think that's important.
Yeah, the media is pretty much owned. There was a consolidation of media back in the late 1990s, and corporations like Disney, News Corp, CBS, Time Warner, and just a few others own almost all of what's going on, what controls our media. We don't really have a free press in this country anymore. We have corporate-controlled mass media. And although it's a mixture of truth and propaganda, it is, you know, certain stories are always lied about by almost everybody.
There's always something in the news, like some Hollywood person or some distraction.
Oh, right.
When there's something really distracting going on, like Michael Jackson or Britney Spears, where you just can't turn on any of the news, but to hear that, I always wonder what's really going on and go to the alternative news stories.
Right.
Democracy Now! Covered it today, but other than that, I haven't heard of anybody covering it, and that's what's so important about our radio station here, is that we can talk about the truth.
Right.
There's nobody here telling us that we can't talk about what's really going on.
Right. One of the few outlets left that's not being censored. Some people like Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones are able to get the news out in a ways and have a certain amount of listenership, but most of what's being fed to the American people is very sophisticated propaganda. It looks like free press because you have reporters arguing with each other and the right opposes the left and that kind of thing, but when it comes to something like 9/11 truth, they all toe the line and tell the same lies. It's what the Greek philosopher Plato called noble lies. They're mythological stories, untrue stories that you use to control people with.
Right. So today we're continuing with part two of New World Order for Dummies.
Right.
With Kurt here, who's been on the show several times since July 4th, starting with July 4th when we talked about
9/11 truth.
Well, we talked about...
And a lot of other things.
Yeah, well, what I found memorable was the quote by George Washington about... He identified the Illuminati as an issue. George Washington, our first president. And so if we're conspiracy theorists for talking about some of this stuff, so was George Washington.
Right, George Washington and...
And so we're trying to put this into terms where people can really begin to take it in and really wonder and go out there and search for themselves and... Kurt, your papers are rustling.
All right. Speaking of a quote of American president, here's one from Woodrow Wilson in 1913. Quote, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it," unquote. The original conspiracy theorist, Woodrow Wilson.
Yep. And we talked about how, last week, we talked about how the average person today in a corporate job, which is almost any job, is going to be controlled by the fear of the loss of their job. So they're going to do things. We've talked about that from obstetrics to 911 about how people will do what they know is not right, or they go numb and they shut down so that they go ahead and do what they're told to do just so that they can keep their job, so that they can have their house and their car and have their American way of life.
People sometimes refer to this as the twin pillars. One pillar, there are the ways of controlling pillar. People, one pillar is reward and the other pillar is punishment. You have the twin pillars that control people.
The carrot and the stick.
Right.
But you can't speak up. And I mean, if anybody's had any kind of experience in a director or managerial position, you know that you can't speak out. You know things are not being done right. You know they could be done better. They could be done better for people or even efficiency, but you can't speak out because
you don't dare.
So we're going to move along into the next. The next part that you wanted to cover.
Right.
And I guess I could, while you're doing that, I could fill in people that Kurt was raised in a family where there was a family member who was part of the Illuminati.
Outsiders refer to it as the Illuminati. It's as good a word as any to use because people know it and are familiar, and there's huge amounts of disinformation about this put out there, but there is a secret society, whatever you want to call it, and the elites these days refer to it as the New World Order.
And as a child, you were recruited, and from age 8 to 16, and recruited, is it, I use that loosely, because you weren't like, oh yeah, I'll
right.
go.
Really, if you're talking about certain branches of the secret society, people are conditioned from childhood on to be a part of the secret society, and but we're going into the internal structure of the secret society. We talked about that in detail last time. What I was hoping we could talk about today was the depopulation agenda. Once you realize that the New World Order is running things, you have to appreciate the fact that they don't have our best interests in mind. And to, if you doubt the population agenda, you should consider these things. In a rural area of Georgia, there's a monument made up of four stone slabs that look like four grave markers, and they're topped with a capstone. These are called the Georgia Guidestones. And they contain a message supposedly for the future generations. And these statements are carved in stone in 8 languages. And among other things, they call for the human race to be reduced in size to 500 million people. There's something called Agenda 21 of the United Nations, and that calls for something like 80 to 90% of the human race to be depopulated. Billionaires like Bill Gates and Ted Turner have spoke out in favor of this depopulation agenda. And so how do these elites of the global New World Order hope to achieve this massive depopulation of our planet? Well, if you've looked up in the skies recently, you may have noticed one of their techniques. This is the chemtrail phenomena. A contrail is a water vapor condensing in the wake of an overflying jet aircraft. A contrail dissipates quickly in a matter of seconds. But airplanes with chemical trails can be easily seen from the ground, and these chemical trails extend from horizon to horizon. And chemtrails have been around for years. If you watch them carefully, you can see that they don't dissipate quickly, but rather the chemtrails slowly spread out as their chemical vapor falls to the earth. And people all over the country have documented these chemtrails in photos and films. Many laboratories have analyzed this vapor from the chemtrails. They're made up of aluminum, barium, aluminum oxide, cadmium sulfide, carcinogenic zinc, and toxic bacilli and toxic molds. megatons of this aluminum-based toxins are being spread over the populated regions of our countries, and reports of increased illness and decreasing fertility are linked with this chemtrail phenomena. So we're constantly under attack, and our tax dollars are being used to poison all of us. And the depopulation agenda isn't just a silly conspiracy theory. It's something anyone can see if you pay attention. And chemtrails are just one method of depopulation. For years, we've had toxic fluoride put in our drinking water. Our foods are becoming filled with toxic additives. And Bill Gates has publicly joked about the use of vaccines to solve our problem of overpopulation. And on our website, thoughtcrimeradio.net, there's some information about that. And Rich is here in the studio. Tell us about what's going on with thoughtcrimeradio.net.
Okay. Well, about the vaccines, people can go under the reference section and look under vaccines, and they'll see several articles linked there dealing specifically with a tetanus, allegedly contaminated tetanus vaccine, which was actually the research for developing this this version of the tetanus vaccine was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation starting decades ago, and they finally perfected it. I believe the patent is from the 80s, where they mix tetanus toxin with something called human gonadotropin hormone, which is the hormone that pregnant women, I guess it's put out by the fetus in pregnant women, and it promotes the gestation, you know, the development of the uterus and all the stuff that needs to happen for a baby to develop in a woman. And by combining these two chemicals together and injecting it into people, they can cause women to have an allergic reaction to pregnancy and to miscarriage. And they actually were caught red-handed. The World Health Organization was caught using this vaccine in a number of countries, Nicaragua, Brazil, Thailand come to mind. And because of the vaccination protocols they were using, which involved multiple injections, which is uncommon, you know, not found with ordinary tetanus vaccine, it aroused suspicion. And so they sent samples of these vials to labs and discovered this. And then you can actually go on to Google, scholar.google.com, and look up the patents or the patent for this particular concoction. So, and it's also widely acknowledged now that the first world, and including the United States, is having a remarkable drop in male fertility, sperm mobility, and things like that. And there are connections between all these estrogen mimickers in our environment, like in the plastic bottles. These estrogen mimickers work in trace amounts. These are basically synthetic hormones, and it only takes the slightest trace amount to cause changes in a person's endocrine system that would cause their fertility to drop. And actually, you can go on the and I need to post a link to this, but I found a link on the Procter & Gamble website documenting which products they believe are exempt from the Consumer Product Safety Law. The Consumer Product Safety Law was passed in order to protect us from these estrogen mimickers in the chemicals that we, or the plastics that we deal with. And the lawyers at Procter & Gamble decided arbitrarily, apparently, that they would exempt things like toothpaste and toothbrushes, and food is actually listed in this list of products that Procter & Gamble sells that they consider to be exempt from the requirements of the Consumer Product Safety Law.
And information about that is one of the great things that you're going to find on the revamped website, thoughtcrimeradio.net.
So, yeah, anybody looking for a paradigm shift to try to explain what's going on in the world and why it doesn't matter who we elect president or how much we protest in the streets or what kind of signs we carry and how much how many flowers we stick into the barrels of police, riot police, nothing seems to change, and there's a reason for that, and it's in keeping with long stated and published objectives of people like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, which do in fact exist. They are not conspiracy theories. And the United Nations was founded with Rockefeller money. The World Health Organization is involved in spreading HIV in Africa. I mean, nothing is as it seems in this world, because one of the biggest single objectives of the rulers of this world is to control population.
And it should be pointed out that the depopulation agenda is not about saving the environment. That's the excuse that they use. And they take something like environmentalism, and they, if you're an environmentalist, then you're in favor of genocide.
Well, that's the equation they've developed. I mean, if you look at the effects of if they start this carbon trading scam, the EPA has decided they're going to label carbon dioxide as a toxic compound. Now, I'm not a climatologist. I doubt that anyone in the audience out there is a climatologist.
Well, this is not about whether global warming is good science. It's their reaction to global warming and its depopulation and this oppressive taxing system. You know, whether the science of global warming is true or not, their reaction is not a solution. They're just using that as an excuse.
Well, whatever their motivations, it's definite that carbon trading is going to result in mass death if it's fully implemented.
And you feel that this is all part of a new world order agenda?
This has gone, there's been plans for this since the 1700s. The Rothschilds took Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati group, and they started using it for their own ends, and now it consists of, it's run by billionaire families who have generational wealth. They see themselves as the future rulers of the entire world, and they have criminal enforcers who will make sure that their secrecy is kept and that they can bribe, blackmail whoever they need to. Although these days they control so much money that they can do a lot of this stuff pretty openly, and they openly talk about creating a global government. It's the in thing now.
Some of this stuff they're rubbing in our face. You know, you can go online and find photos of U.S. troops in Afghanistan guarding poppy fields. I mean, it's
right.
Ridiculous. It's like we're supposed to become accustomed to this notion that the U.S. government smuggles drugs into this country and just sort of throw up our hands and say, well, what can you do? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you can do, but it is... When your own government is waging war on this country, it's a first step to at least acknowledge that that's happening.
Well, yeah, what you can do is you can study the truth, you can learn the truth, and you can start speaking to others. I mean, their methods of control have to do with brainwashing, mind control, and the big thing is deception, the telling of noble lies, deceiving people.
Do you want to talk about Brzezinski?
Yes, the big new Brzezinski.
Brzezinski.
Yes.
that would be Obama's foreign advisor, foreign policy advisor,
right.
Who is his Karl Rove, basically. he's considered the handler.
Well, Karl Rove was more into dirty tricks. Brzezinski is into imperial conquest.
Well, I was reading that Brzezinski is actually behind the Afghan war, and his plan is create the United States as the one world government over communism. And he was behind, in 2008, he was behind Obama's voting, or it came out in 2008 that he was behind Obama's voting not to go to Iraq, but it's not because they were against the war.
But you notice
it's because it was against imperialism.
Right. Of course, we're still in Iraq now, so...
So that sort of shows, well, but you have a quote, don't you? I don't know if you guys can say it
exactly. Yeah, Zbigniew has been quoted in a number of places talking about how it's easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people.
Well, I played that actually on this show several months ago. It was a recording from Chatham House in Britain. He was giving a speech to the our great leaders, and he was talking in the context of how the world was changing and how people were waking up and getting involved, and political activism was becoming very widespread. He in this context, he talked about how it used to be the case that it was easier to control a million people than to kill a million people, but now it is easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
Right. I think he's actually wrong about that, not to split hairs, but I think if you were really smart enough and you understood the human condition and what we now know about psychology and sociology, it would actually be easier to control a million people or 7 billion people or 10 billion people. I mean, you know, their idea that we have to get rid of all these people isn't the problem. The problem is this toxic economic system and people who are running it who have hatred for humanity and for nature.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there in Radioland who think that, who would agree with the elites that there are too many people in this world. I would argue that we don't know the answer to that question, because our economic system, when you consider debt-based money, which leads to endless war and boom-bust cycles that are so destructive, and you combine that with planned obsolescence, which is just an absolute business model in this world, the deliberate creation of things that break down needlessly. You know, there is no reason in the world why we couldn't all be living in the lap of luxury right now. Every single person in this world, we have that kind of technology, and we don't have to create massive amounts of toxic waste to do it.
Yeah. So there's a group called the 99. I'll put that on the blog too. But these people that are at Wall Street have started this. I'm one of the 99 percentile. Like, there's enough money. The 1% of the population that has all these billions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, you have to ask, when is enough, and when are you happy, and how much control do you need when there are people who are now becoming homeless. I mean, the middle class is becoming homeless, and people are not able to pay their bills.
True.
The 99% of people in this country are really starting to hurt, and we're better off than 90% of the world.
Right.
But we still have enough resources that we could take care of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, less than 1% owns more than 40% of the country's wealth, and I think that's actually gotten worse in recent years.
I've heard that almost a third of the middle class has fallen into poverty in the past several years.
But in terms of population control, one of the ways that we could do that is to create an agenda where we only bring in human beings who are wanted and for whom that we can take care of. And that's called conscious conception. And if people became more conscious about what they do in their daily lives, as well as in their sexual encounters and in conceiving babies, what we have here is an overpopulation of people who are not wanted and who are not loved and who are not cared for. And even within the wealthy, we have children who are being cared for by strangers or left alone.
All right. Yeah, many of the super wealthy, they're separated from their families at a fairly young age and put into boarding schools, and this keeps them from developing a normal way of thinking. They don't feel empathy for other human beings. They only identify with members of their own class.
in with the carrot stick concept.
Right. And it should be pointed out, these people are not necessarily the smartest people in the world. David Rockefeller, Jacob Rothschild, the Warburg family, the other families who are controlling things. These people are not geniuses. I mean, they've inherited connections and power, and they're not seeing solutions that could actually be used to deal with our natural environment better and to create an orderly society with even billions of people.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of my career for the first 20-some years working in trying to support women to get out of the public welfare systems. And I looked in my master's thesis at this whole legacy of, after multiple generations, how people don't know. It's like if you take animals and you put them in the St. Louis Zoo. And I was watching at the St. Louis Zoo one day when I was in my master's program for this, and all the birds started going crazy. And then pretty soon we heard the squeaky wheel, and here comes the woman with the big barrel of feed. Well, these animals, these birds in particular in this area, are free to fly, but they don't, because they're fed. And they don't know how anymore. And that's what happens generationally with people who are on welfare, is that they don't have the bootstraps. They don't know how to go about doing it. I mean, I've worked in programs helping women to get out of welfare and into the workforce, and it's a real phenomenon. So when you look at the other end of that, when we have the super wealthy, it's the very same thing. They're I don't know if it's an appropriate word, but their growth is retarded.
Exactly.
In so many areas, they don't know how to interact with people. They don't know how to get up every day and go to work from 8 to 5. I mean, some of those people, some of the stories are just crazy, where the young girls and the women just shop. And their whole focus is on how they look and what they drive and what they wear.
Right.
How Paris Hilton.
Right.
Ding,
oh,
ding,
yeah.
Ding.
Right. Talk about being
dummy. She's like
down.
So famous for what?
Right.
She's not, you know.
For being stupid.
I mean, but it's just like, you know, the IQ, you know, is on a bell curve. So the, you know, standard deviations away from the mean of 100 begin to be deviant. So if you have an extremely high IQ, you're as deviant from the mean as the person who has a very low, the lowest,
right,
IQ. And in a social stratus, we do that as well.
Right. Yeah, we've been dummied down at the top, at the bottom, everywhere. The human race has been dummied down.
And it's the middle class that's been carrying the burden for so long. It's the middle class that gets angry. I've had a couple of conversations in my family about a nephew who is and his mother, who are really, my sister, who are really negative about people on welfare. And so we've had these conversations about why they're on welfare, but like a medical residency gets $100,000 per resident per year from the government. You know, that's welfare as well. Our whole country lives on welfare. What anything you look at, that grants, everything is money from the government. It's all welfare.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that all this so-called charity and welfare has political implications. This is not all just a positive thing in terms of social control. If you have large, you know, numbers of people who are dependent on a monthly check from the government, they are more likely to toe the line. And as far as government policy, if the government says, you know, we want you to
well, who isn't, though? Are you dependent on your check?
Well, I'm, you know,
you have to toe the line.
It's an issue of centralization of power versus diversification of power. If we had, you know, sort of a grassroots oriented economy instead of a bunch of cartels controlling the government, we would be more diversified in our opportunities and our opinions, less controllable from the top. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the depopulation agenda is about turning people into sheeple, into dependent, brainwashed people who don't think for themselves, and then they can be wiped out and reduced to a number that can be placed under control.
Yeah, you know, people are always talking about the left versus the right, Democrats versus Republicans, but, you know, the central issue to understand here is that the government is controlled by corporations, and when you consider that, there is no difference between socialism and fascism.
Hey, we have a caller I'd like to take. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well, I appreciate it. I had a friend that called, and forgive me because I don't normally listen to your station, but I'm finding it such a breath of fresh air. I had to call in.
Yay! Thank you.
Oh, and the buddy drives a semi, so he was driving through town. He said, "Have you heard this station before?" And I don't know. You're talking about some very good topics, and the corporation and everything is most of the issues that the listeners have never heard of or maybe don't want to listen to. Have you ever discussed the birth certificates?
Not yet, but I brought it up a few weeks ago and shocked Rich, which was really hard to do. Do you want to tell us about it?
Well, what little bit I know, I've talked to a woman in Kansas City a couple weeks ago, and she had the long form, and she was in Jefferson City, and they kept calling her a person, her and her husband, they kept calling them a person. Well, if you look up the legal definition, a person is a corporation. They're not a corporation. They're living and breathing. There's that corporation that you're just discussing. What they've looked at and what I've been looking at is, and there's some Canadians that talk about a free man on the land. Have you seen that or read anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard something about that. The sovereign citizen or the sovereign human, yeah.
Well, they call you a free man on the land, but as they explain some things that I've looked at and read about, it cannot hurt a child. They take you as a child newly born in the hospital, put you in that box and that birth certificate. Then they also, before your feet touch the land, before you touch anything, then they put your feet, your little footprints, in that box, and they put you up for safekeeping, and then they give you the all capital letter name.
Right.
The straw man. That's because they can't hurt a child. It's all, if you've seen anything, but fraud negates consent, and without true disclosure, everything is under fraud. So this corporate government that we're dealing with is quite the deception. I don't think they've ever really been honest with us.
Never.
So the upshot of all this is that through legal sleight of hand, they believe that they have established a legitimate basis for controlling us.
That they own us. And we've talked a lot. If you haven't heard the show before, we focus a lot on the impact of obstetrics on the human being, which separates the human being from the mother and violates the boundaries of the baby by all of these unnecessary medical interventions. And that is when we are first introduced as a human being coming into this dimension through the womb of a woman. We're introduced to this power outside of ourselves and our mother and our father who take control of us and can physically do anything to us that they want.
Including hurt us. I mean, when you say that they can't hurt children, we would beg to differ. We've been covering this issue of obstetrical abuse for over 2 years now.
And circumcision,
right,
which is also hurtful to the child.
But the separation of the mother and the baby, the separation of the baby from its placental blood in the first few seconds and minutes of life, and then taking the baby away from the mother and interference with breastfeeding and all of that is what we're referring to. And you may not be, when you say in the context that you're talking, not hurting a child, it could be a different
But the child is in the box, is a gentleman that I've talked to before, and he's in Texas. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard anything from Alfred Adask. He's got a blog spot out there. And he got into something years ago, and their definition was man or other animal. So I'm thinking that the approach that they're taking is they're calling us an animal, so therefore it's okay to hurt the animal because the child is in the box with that birth certificate.
Right. And one thing we've talked about is there is a philosophy about that the ruling elite believe in that is not like anything that most people believe in. And that philosophy allows them to think about human beings in a degrading way. They're opposed, you know, the ultimate goal is to destroy all religions and to destroy all natural spirituality.
And the family.
And the family, yeah, absolutely. And their New World Order, One World Government, there's not going to be any religion except for their take on Luciferianism, and this really is, you know, very heavy stuff.
And I don't know if you heard that we have a website called thoughtcrimeradio.net.
No.
So there's a lot of things that you could check out there, and you could also leave Rich a message on there for things that you want to share to put up there.
Yeah, you can comment on it.
What is it? What is it called again?
ThoughtCrimeRadio.net.
Thought Crime.
Right.
That's the name of the show, Thought Crime Radio.
Yeah. We're inspired by the writings of George Orwell, as you can tell.
He's my hero, yeah, right. But getting back to the obstetrical thing, most people are...
I heard a funny beeping. Are you still with us?
I'm still with you. My cell phone's ringing.
Oh.
Forgive me for that one. But
we need to take a little break if you want to stay with us. I need to take a little break, and we'll come right back.
Okay, well, I may call you back.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, now, when is your show on, from when to when?
5 to 6 on Mondays.
Except for the first Monday of the month.
Right, every Monday except the first Monday of the month, 5 to 6.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's blow the whistle on evil thoughts.
On KOPN, Columbia.
Love women and the music they make, then tune in to World Woman Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. only on your community radio station, 89.5 FM, KOPN, Columbia.
What hope for a generation?
Why did the penguin cross the road?
To take tracks up to KOPN for Jill Sheet's show, Penguin Tracks.
Tune in every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for music and interviews with host Jill Sheets.
For more information, go to facebook.com/penguintracks or email Jill at penguintracks@yahoo.com.
If you miss an interview, log on to kopn.org and listen to past podcasts.
That's Penguin Tracks from 4 to 6 p.m. every Friday on 89.5 FM KOPN Columbia.
On the last Tuesday of the month at 2 a.m., you can get your dubstep on KOPN. Nocturnal is back. Nocturnal. 2 a.m. to 5:30 a.m. Which Tuesday? The last Tuesday. On 89.5 FM, KOPN, Columbia.
That would be tonight.
We need a PSA like that. That was a good PSA.
I know it. So Rock the Quirk is on the other nights, the other Tuesday mornings. And I want to let people know that some of the funds for this program are provided by listener support and by a donation from Socket. Socket provides homes and businesses with high-speed internet and web hosting with technical support 7 days a week. Socket's local and long-distance telephone service is also available for Missouri businesses. Socket's statewide headquarters is located at 2703 Clark Lane in Columbia. More information about Socket is available at 1-800-SOCKET or online at socket.net.
The Columbia chapter of Missouri Writers Guild presents its annual conference, The Right Direction, November 5th, 2011, 8 a.m. through 4 p.m. at Unity Center of Columbia, 1600 West Broadway. There will be breakout sessions, a keynote address by Jane Iber, and prizes. Breakfast pastries and lunch will be provided. Early bird registration ends October 5th, and normal registration ends October 31st. Registration on the web at ccmwg.org.
And the School of Service/Access Arts is celebrating its 40th anniversary with a variety of events. On Saturday, October 8th, a VIP reception and celebration fundraiser occurs at Orr Street Studios, 106 Orr Street in Columbia. The reception begins at 5 p.m. and continues to 6 p.m. with special guests Naoma Powell and members of the Hearst John family. The party runs from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Tickets are required for both events. Info with Access Arts is 875 875- 0275. And the George Caleb Bingham Gallery announces the exhibition of works by photographer Dylan Vitroni from now until October 7th. A closing reception for the artist will be held as part of Outrageous Friday on October 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. The gallery is located on the MU campus at the corner of Hitt and University.
Alrighty, so this is Thought Crime Radio, 89.5 FM in Columbia, with Kurt, Rich, and myself, Janelle, and we're talking about the New World Order for Dummies, trying to...
And its depopulation agenda, how it has dummied down the American people, how the leaders of the New World Order themselves are living in an ivory tower of wealth and social control so that they can't really see the effects of what they're doing or how society could be changed for the better.
And about how they, from birth forward, enter from generations before, they're actually raised to not be aware of other human beings and the needs around them, and to see the poverty and to see the pain and to see the need for every human being to have a home and clean water and food and meaningful work and time with their family, transportation, clothing.
One of the things we've talked about repeatedly on this show is the looping nature, the self-perpetuating nature of so many of the social pathologies that we discuss, and how even the ruling elites are among the victims of these dysfunctional paradigms. You can trace the early childhood alienation from the parents via boarding schools and obstetrical abuse, which obstetrical abuse would be selected for, it would be correlated with wealth, because the more wealth you have, the more likely you are to be, as a child, subjected to the very latest in medical science, which can be so traumatic to the baby.
And it's not based in science. It's not based on what a human being needs, and it's not what's saving lives. In fact, the United States is pretty low on infant mortality and maternal mortality compared to some almost third world countries. I want to let people know, if they want to call in, the number is 443-8255. That's 443-TALK, 573 area code.
And we did have a guest on the show pointing out how birth certificates are being used as a kind of mind control device. People
are
property.
Well, it's taking authority over it.
Right.
We're not free from the time we're born. Is that it? And there's this, I'll try to find that one I sent to Rich. This guy, sorry to interrupt you, the guy was talking about how we're, all of the language that we commonly use, when you look at it from this guy's perspective who studied it for 40 years, they're taking control at the very beginning.
Right. It's mind control, really. It's the earliest beginning.
It's actual physical control, and they've already done the mind control.
Right, and it's an illusion. I mean, they're creating an imaginary world government in their own minds, and they're the rulers of this imaginary world government, and they have their own laws and their own internal systems of control, and they're not really dealing with the real world.
That's an interesting observation, that this is all virtual, in the same sense that the Constitution is just a piece of paper unless we actually adhere to it, and so everything depends on people's perception of reality, not the reality. The underlying reality itself is just profoundly revolutionary and empowering.
I haven't been able to find it yet, but my mother called me yesterday. My mother is 82, a very good little Christian woman. And she heard on the Christian radio show about some man talking about a court that's above our court. And that's what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. They definitely have their own systems.
Everybody is starting to talk about it and wake up.
All right. And there is the Georgia Guidestones, which not only call for the human race to be depopulated to 500 million people, also calls for there to be a single world court. So, and that's been talked about in the United Nations, and certain billionaires have talked about how we need a world court. And so that's going to undermine the sovereignty of our nation.
Yeah, this is all about centralization of power. I mean, if you really believe that the UN, even if you do believe that the UN is a peace-loving humanitarian organization, even though it was founded with Rockefeller money, the principle of the concentration of power of necessity, even, you know, in the best of circumstances, reduces the individual's power over their own lives. And what we want, you know, in any society worth living in, is that that people have at least some degree of control over the things that affect them personally. If you have no control over your life, then you're a slave.
So we have about 10 minutes left, and I want to rope us all back in here to talk about the depopulation. How does this all work together? What's this about in terms of depopulation?
I think the soft approach, which has been pursued for at least a couple of decades now, is via the addition of trace amounts of endocrine disruptors into our diets that is causing a dramatic drop-off in fertility rates.
And what's wrong with that?
Well,
I mean, that sounds kind of crude, because I know some people really yearn to have a baby, but I wish that we could just look at the need to do conscious conception rather than to have it, because that's
right.
that's a whole different approach. Well, when we as a society and as a culture and as a humanity say we only want to bring other human beings to this planet that will have a functional
that's
life.
That's not the only effect of these endocrine disruptors, though.
Well, no.
I mean, it causes changes to the baby's brain. It changes, it increases cancer rates in women, breast cancer.
Right. Well, look, your tax dollars are being used to spray megatons of aluminum-based toxins on the American people. And this is not only destroying fertility, it's making people sick, and it's destroying
Alzheimer's.
And it's destroying the environment.
It's
the elderly and the young.
Aluminum is a toxin to most agricultural crops.
And the water, the fluoride.
I mean, just look at the crap that the FDA has approved for human consumption, the genetically modified plants, which are known to cause infertility in the third generation of lab rats.
Why are they doing this?
Because they want to reduce the population.
To a controllable number.
Is it reducing the population?
It's already affected our fertility rates.
And this is a slow process. We could find ourselves in a situation where we're not producing the next generation, and this population could be rapidly reduced, and that's what this is all about. And if you doubt the depopulation agenda, just look at the skies. This is something anybody can see. Think about how brainwashed people have to be that you can actually see ourselves being sprayed. This has gone on for years, and yet the average person is walking around unaware of this issue.
Yeah,
I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around it being about depopulation, because it's. I mean, people are sicker, but on the other hand, there's all this new technology to keep people alive, and it's. I mean, I don't know where the fertility rate
comes
from.
That's where the business
model
comes in. If you create sickness and can profit from its treatment, then you're motivated to make sick people.
I mean, teen pregnancy is up again.
Looks like there's a caller.
No, that's the difference. That's another line.
But
so much of what we're talking about is really just a sort of a natural result of the conflict of interest between, for instance, the government that claims to protect us from terrorists, and the financial motivation for this government to create terrorism in order to profit from that. The same dynamic is in effect in medicine, which profits from the treatment of illness.
We have a caller.
They have a motivation to create illness, and that's what they do.
Yes, we do have a caller. Hey, caller.
I just turned on the radio and was hearing what you guys were talking about, and I'm a little confused. You're talking about the UN wants to depopulate the world.
It's the UN
Agenda 21.
The UN is under the control of the same people who control the federal government. I mean, the federal government is no longer under the control of the American people.
The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a private corporation that runs our money.
Oh.
Okay. If you've heard the phrase New World Order, which almost every politician has used at one time or another, it's a reference to a secret government that's basically a banking cartel. It's international, and it systematically undermines the sovereignty of our country.
Do you have a comment?
No, I was just wondering what you guys were talking about.
we're sort of talking to ourselves, I guess. I don't know if anyone else is listening.
Well, I had another call that
I was listening.
Hey, well, thank you for listening. And I want to take this other caller.
Let's do a plug for the website, too, so that we're not just talking to ourselves, that we do have abundant evidence and documentation for what we're talking about on thoughtcrimeradio.net.
Thoughtcrimeradio.net.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
I'm trying to get another caller here, and... Oh my gosh, I've got two calls.
Just at the last minute, huh?
We actually didn't know if people listened. This is awesome.
This is great.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I get to come... I have a question. And I've read quite a bit and seen quite a bit on fluoride in the water and how it reacts with people. And Prozac is supposed to be something like 90% fluoride.
Yes.
How is there, and I've thought about it, is there a way to get the fluoride out of the water? Because you'd have to vote on it to accept it, but I don't think they ever asked anybody if they wanted fluoride in the water.
It's interesting. It's very... I don't remember the exact legal impediments to removing fluoride. It's much easier to add, you know, to initiate the addition of fluoride into drinking water in a particular community than it is to remove it. But there have been a number of communities just in the past year or so that have voted... to take it out of the drinking water. And even the, you know, the thing is, even the ADA, you know, probably the last holdout for the addition of fluoride to the water, now admits that systemic ingestion of fluoride doesn't do anything for your teeth. In fact, in excess, it can cause dental fluorosis. The only type of fluoridation that makes the enamel harder is through topical application.
It's a
neurotoxin. It affects the
it was used
serotonin.
In a Nazi concentration camp first as a kind of tranquilizer to keep the inmates in the concentration camp calm. It's a Prozac type drug.
Well, I'd like to add to that fentanyl, which they use in epidurals right now, is a synthetic opiate that's classified as a potential chemical weapon by George Bush's administration after in Russia someplace there were a lot of people killed using it. And then they also use a drug called ketamine, which I believe is a veterinarian tranquilizer during a cesarean to tranquilize the woman so that she doesn't do that flinching where you get cut and you automatically want to touch it. So there are a lot of drugs that are being shown to be horrific drugs in other situations that are used on humans.
And talking about fluoride, a major company that deals with fluoride is Lucier, spelled Lucier, and F is the chemical symbol for fluoride, and so when you add F to Lucier, it becomes Lucifer. Talk about conspiracy theories there.
Can you say something?
Okay.
Yeah, he has something else.
I did want to make a comment. It's just like the young lady that just called in before me. And if some people have never heard this or seen some of this, to them it might be a little bit hard to accept.
Right.
And I've got a friend, I've shared things with him for 15 years, and he said after 15 years, and he couldn't disprove the things that I've told him, and he's read about and seen, he's finally coming to agree that this is true, but it's taken a long time.
Well, it's hard to accept the fact that the government is controlled by psychopaths and, you know, drug dealers and just complete arch criminals.
Yeah.
We're talking about the elite, not the average person who works for our government, who are both mostly good people.
Right.
Right.
And one of the things that that you might look at or post out there is the definition of chattel.
Ah. Right.
Most don't realize that they look at us as chattel.
That's
which
true.
Which is the same as cattle, only in the form of a man or a woman. So they treat us differently. So when they're wanting to do things to us, that's how they do it. And it's a sad thing that they can look at us and treat us in the manner that they do.
Well, it is. But again, it's important to point out that they are among the victims of this paradigm. The rulers of the world have paid heavily in a personal sense.
It's called normative abuse.
Yeah.
They're just people passing will do on. They will perpetrate what was perpetrated upon them because that makes them feel normal if everyone else experiences and feels as horrible as they do.
Yeah.
And we're running out of time.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for calling. Appreciate all the calls. There were a couple of calls I didn't get in, and people were calling the other line. This is exciting. We're going to continue 2 weeks from today. Next Monday is the Community Hour with Larry, and we'll be back 2 weeks from today continuing to talk about this and would love to take calls.
But call earlier in the hour if you want to get on.
And remember, thoughtcrimeradio.net is your place for doing research. Find out what's going on.
So stay tuned for the tech radio, and thanks for joining us. We will hopefully see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, 5 o'clock Monday.
And in the meanwhile, we'd like to create... Keep talking.
We'd like to create what? She started
us... I'm having technical difficulties.
Okay, she's got us...
She's trying to end off the show, but we really appreciate everyone who listens into this show. The fact that you're listening to us is so important. Whether you agree with our ideas, you're the hope of the world that you'll listen to these ideas and be open-minded.
And we're here because we'd like to have a new beginning. The new world order sounds good, but we'd like the new world that a lot of us are dreaming of, and that's where we are connected with one another. We all have what we need. We all share. We're empathetic.
It's a new beginning.
A new beginning.
One generation.